Hello, District 38, and welcome back to a new episode of our podcast, The Megaphone. I'm Chris Hulse, and I am the immediate past district director and your podcast host. And I'm really excited to be talking to our guest today. But before we reveal who our guest is, I do have something I want to share with all of you in case you maybe didn't know about it yet. Did you know that District 38 is having a picnic in a few short weeks? We are, and we want you to join us. We started having an annual picnic last year in celebration of Toastmasters' 100th anniversary, and we decided to continue the tradition. If you were at last year's picnic, it will be held at the same place, the Norristown Farm Park in, you guessed it, Norristown, Pennsylvania. So, what sort of festivities will be taking place at this year's picnic? Well, we're going to have food. I mean, what is a picnic without food, right? We're going to have your typical picnic goodies, different types of burgers. So we're going to have beef burgers, turkey burgers, plant-based burgers, also hot dogs, pasta salad, fruit, snacks, soda, water juice. You won't be leaving there hungry or thirsty, that's for sure. And are you a baker? Because there's going to be a District 38 dessert contest with prizes. So, if you want to bake something and enter the contest, reach out to the picnic chair. That sounds kind of funny, but that is his actual title for the event. He is the picnic chair. His name is Gregory Ludwig, and his email is toastmaster.gregoryCludwig, and he spells last name Ludwig at gmail.com. That's toastmaster.gregoryCludwig@gmail.com, and Greg will get you set up as a dessert contestant. And there's gonna be a fashion show. Yes, you heard me right, but I don't think we're gonna be walking the runway. If you know District 38 at all, we love putting our themes on clothing, t-shirts, hoodies, hats. So make sure you bring or wear some of these articles of clothing from the past or the present. And a fun thing we're gonna do is see how many fellow Toastmasters from across the district can sign our clothing. Organizers will provide the markers, and even if you don't have any District 38 clothing, you can wear a white t-shirt and get it signed by other Toastmasters. But I'm gonna let you in on a little secret. I helped set up a website where you can get some current District 38 swag and clothing. So if you go to it's bonfire, bonfire.com/store/Toastmasters-district-38, the number 38. And if you can't remember the link, go to the District 38 webpage, which is tmdistrict38.org, and look for the tile along the right side with different pieces of clothing flashing up there. And click on it, and it'll take you to the site where you can buy District 38 clothing, and it'll be shipped right to your house. And we're going to be doing District 38 show and tell at the picnic. So if you have anything, a picture or a promotional item from District 38 from years ago, bring it with you, and we'll give you an opportunity to talk about it. Table topic style. I mean, you're Toastmaster, so we know you won't be shy to talk about your item. Oh, yeah. So when's this happening? Well, it's going to be Saturday, October 4th of this year from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. And if you got the district newsletter that came out via email on September 8th, the information is in there. Just scroll down a little. But if you want to sign up that you're coming to the picnic, there's an Eventbrite out there. And I'll put the link in the description of this podcast episode. And there's a little bit of a cost involved to cover the food, $18.50 for adults, $10 for under 18. And anyone can attend. You don't have to be a Toastmaster. And if you are, bring a guest, bring your kid's soccer coach, and especially if you think the soccer coach would think Toastmasters is something they'd want to be involved in once soccer season's over. So that's my pitch for the picnic. But now the person you've patiently been waiting for, our guest for this episode. And if you've been paying attention over the past few months, you have undoubtedly heard my guest's name and her recent achievements. So let me tell you about her before we hear from her. Our guest today is in two clubs, Bluebell Toastmasters and Harleysville Toastmasters. She has served as president of Bluebell for 3 years, but also served in the role of vice president membership for 2 years, as well as vice president public relations. She was also a club coach and mentor of the North America Chinese Bilingual Toastmasters Club. She is a former area director in Area H81 when we had a Division H, and she has helped with the Youth Leadership Program. A very accomplished Toastmaster, I am proud to present distinguished Toastmaster and current International Speech Contest District 38 champion, Leslie Crudup. Hello, Leslie. How are you today?
Hi, Chris. I am so happy to be here. Thank you
Of course,
for
of course.
having
So, because I know so many of us are fascinated by those who take on the journey of entering the speech contest season we have every year, I'd ask Leslie to be on the podcast to talk about her journey this year. With it being so recent, and also hoping that hearing Leslie's story will inspire some of you to put yourself in a speech contest or volunteer in some way. So, Leslie, to start us off, I'm sure all the Toastmasters who decide to enter into the speech contest season do it for reasons specific to them. So, what was your specific reason for entering the speech contest initially?
Well, thank you for asking me, Chris. I will tell you that I had participated in the International Speech Contest several times. I started in 2019. I participated then. I participated in 2020 and then also in 2023. I think with every time I entered the contest, I came with a different agenda. And I will tell you at first, for the first two, it was always about, can I do this public speaking thing? It's one thing I had never thought of doing, didn't know if I could do it. And I said, well, if I'm doing so well at the club, then let me see how far it will take me. And I learned each time from 2019. I learned, okay, oh, this is what it looks like at this level. And then I made it to another level. I said, oh, this is what it looks like at this level. And I went all the way through to 2023. I will tell you, this year is the one year that I joined for a totally different objective. I was not going to participate in the speech contest because I figured, oh, I've done it. I saw how it worked. Okay, I'm happy. But I realized I had a message more than anything else. And I thought, well, if I can get this message out to two people, three people, four people, then I'm going to go ahead and do it. And someone in my club put a birdie in my ear and said, okay, well, you're talking about this at the club level all the time. Why don't you take it further? So it was all about the message this time. That was the one thing that drove my entire experience and my reasoning for joining the contest this year. It was about what I wanted to talk about, the story that I wanted to share, for
Well,
sure.
that's awesome. I'm so glad to hear that that was your reason for doing it, was to get the message out. Because to me, and we'll talk about this as we keep talking about the message and how it propelled you forward. So, in wanting to talk about your message, how did you come up with your speech material, the basically, how did you decide to kind of shape the message or the speech itself around the message? And could you tell us within that how personal was what you were talking about to you?
Yeah, sure. So I don't want to beat this message like crazy, but I will tell you, when I first started thinking about what my message was, I knew what I wanted to talk about, but I knew that it wasn't something that was in everybody's space. And the one of the things that you have to think about when you're especially thinking about international speech contests is that you want your message to be universal. And you want it to appeal to people, and you want people to walk away feeling good or feeling that, okay, there's a call to action here. So every time I just tried to figure out, well, what do I want to talk about with this particular message? I had to start thinking, how do you make it universal? And all I keep coming back to is about a story, something that happened. Everybody had something that happened to them at some point that turned them around and made them realize this is my calling. So whether my message was their calling or not, I wanted, that's the way I kind of went in. Like everybody has a calling and this is mine. And I want people to also feel that too. So it was really piecemealing the speech. Can I tell you, I had about 27 different topics around this one thing that I had to figure out how to make it a universal type of message out to people. And I just wanted to appeal to where people's hearts were, because everybody has a heart and everybody has a calling and everybody has that one thing that they've always wanted to do. So that was always the driver of how I crafted what I wanted to say. I didn't necessarily know how it was going to end up or where how, at all how far it was going to go, but I'm happy that it went as far as it did. That's for sure. But I'm happy that it was something that did appeal to the masses, I will say. And it is a testament that regardless of what it is that you want to talk about, everybody has something they want to talk about and everybody wants to hear it. That makes sense.
Did you know that it was? I know you said a little bit about how, when you're doing it this year more for the message, but in as you were writing it, or maybe even some of the feedback you got, did you know it was a winning speech, or did that part surprise you?
No idea that it was a winning speech whatsoever. No idea. And so I'll say in the message was about special education, which we'll jump into a little later. I had my reservations because while I was saying I wanted to be universal, I was nervous that it might not make it as far as it needed to go. And everybody wasn't in for hearing about special education. But I was just so committed personally to having as many people know about it. I just felt like, honestly, if I get to one level, I get there. If I get to another level, I get there. Now, I will tell you that on the side, I was thinking about what happens if it doesn't go where I want it to go. I had always started thinking, well, you know what? If this doesn't go where I need to go, maybe I can go to other ventures, like another community organizations. Like I could use the speaking platform in different spaces. So while I'm learning how to public speak here in Toastmasters, and of course wanting to get to international level, it was also teaching me what do I need to do in this next space that I'm going to do to talk to whoever the masses may be in different venues about my same calling. So it's almost like practice, I guess, too. But no, had no idea. No idea it was going to go this far.
So please take us on the journey as you went from winning club, winning area, winning division to the district level. Please take us on that journey and kind of like
Okay.
how it went for you.
Well, I will tell you at the club level, Bluebell, I belong to two clubs, Bluebell and Harleysville. I crafted this speech that I said I had like 27 different topics. I must have presented it to both of my clubs twice, three times maybe, and each and every time, while it was always a route, still special education, I used them as a laboratory. That's what clubs are for. I tried it, with the Bluebell one time, then I went to Harleysville and I went back and I went forward because those were my home clubs, just to try to tweak each and every time. That feedback that you get from people, it is it's phenomenal. It's amazing. And some of the holes that they help you find and some of the things that they help you with determining, okay, here's a blind spot that I'm missing that I need to talk about. I definitely leaned on my club and they were amazing. I will say from there, as I went to each of the levels through district, my Bluebell and Harleysville were behind me 100%. They were always there. That made such a big difference, whether it was virtual or otherwise in person, whether they were calling me or texting me, that support behind you just to give you that comfort that, you can do this. That made it all the worthwhile too, because it has to be fun at the same time. You have to enjoy it. So I leaned on them. After I had made it to different levels, I realized that the one thing I needed to do was now that I was with my family and family was happy with it, I needed to take it out to other people. I needed to see whether this message resonates with people that have no idea who I am. And that's when I started visiting different clubs. I started visiting them every chance I get. And I can tell you, outside of Bluebell and Harleysville, I visited New Covenant. I did a couple of speeches there. Professionally speaking, we are the speakers. Even as far as virtual to downtown Nairobi, Toastmasters in Kenya, I just went to different
Wow.
people and just tried to show the same speech just to see where does it resonate and what have you, so I could get that feedback. And that was, oh my gosh, there's no way that you can allude to how important it is to have people that know you, that don't know you or don't know you from a can of paint, to tell you or show you, hey, I loved your speech. Here's what resonated with me, because it was different every single time. So I was getting closer, and I said, actually, and as I started progressing, I said, well, maybe this is more universal than I thought, because so many people had come up and said they related to it. And so many people came up and said, I love when you did this, or I love when you did that. So I said, okay, maybe it is a big message. And I got really excited. So I have to say, I leaned on Toastmasters at every single level. And I tell folks in my clubs, don't just go to your club when you do it. Go visit other clubs, other people that don't know you or do know you, and you'll be amazed at what feedback and whatnot you get from them as well.
And as you got this feedback, do you know about how many times you ended up tweaking your speech? And how did you decide what to tweak if you did?
Well, it was weird. I had the speech initially at my Bluebell and Harleysville Club. I think I may have given it maybe at a total of that time, maybe six times. And I got it down to the one speech. When I went out to the other clubs, New Covenant, professionally speaking, they all had me tweak it a little bit. At one point, I changed my entire speech. And I think it was like maybe one of the clubs, New Covenant Club. I came back to heart to Bluebell, and they said, why'd you change it? Okay. I got into a point where I was changing my speech so much that I had to find a point in time where I had to commit to what I was going to talk about. And this was before I even got to District 38. I had to commit and just say, okay, because at this point, I know the message is good. I got to believe in parts of it, and I have to leave. And in 7 minutes, mind you, I need to make this, a powerful and movable speech. So if I had to guess, just before district, I must have changed my speech about, no exaggeration, about 10 or 15 times. After district, as we started progressing to the semifinals, and semifinals tells you, well, you can change it if you want. I was nervous. I told myself that if I did change it, it was only going to be so many times. I gave myself five times. I went out to, oh, and I let me add in here, when I went out for that feedback, I also went out to some of our winning international speech contestants as well. I talked to Jocelyn Tyson, who was phenomenal, and Aaron Beverly. I went out to people that I knew had been in contests before it made it to certain levels, such as Ken Krawtruck, to just ask them, their feedback also as I was progressing. And then I got to give a special shout out to Leslie Arnold, who was a contestant in District 38. And she and I became friends after that. And she became like this little mentor for me from 38 all the way to the finals, helping me with crafting it. But I had to get down to a point in time where it was like, okay, there's only so many revisions I can do till I start second guessing myself. And I second guessed myself all the way up until the very end, but I had to make that commitment at one point in time. Yeah. So let's say 20 times.
So for those that don't know, we actually tape the district contest, and whoever wins, Leslie won, we send that out to world headquarters. And I would say probably about a month we waited to hear back, right? And in that month, did you think a lot about it? Did you consider what's going to happen if I get into the semifinals? Like, what was your thought there?
I was very nervous. I guess I told myself that if I didn't place, it was okay. But someone said to me, and his name was Tim Tilson. I know it's a Toastmaster. He said, "Well, you didn't come this far not to win." So then I started thinking, "Oh, well, maybe I can really go far." I will tell you, I was really nervous the whole time waiting for it to come back because I still wasn't at that time. Like I said, I had revised the speech almost 20 times now, right? And when they came back, I was like, okay, am I going to have to change it again? Am I going to want to change it again? If I even get that far, that was my biggest thing, because now this is getting bigger than me. I just thought to myself, you know what? I'm just going to go with the journey, however far it gets. But again, I was always still thinking in the back of my mind, this is going to be another calling outside of Toastmasters. Whatever happens, this whole message is going to take off in another form or fashion. And that's what I have to keep believing in. And this is just the stepping stone to it. So that was what I was telling myself in the back of my head as I was a nervous wreck, wondering about what in the world was going to happen next.
So in the journey that you're on
Yeah.
with for this contest season, so we I know that believe it was myself and Michelle Westgate and you heard from World Headquarters that you were going to be in the semifinals of the World Championship of Public Speaking. And so I know you talked a little bit about, having talked to Jocelyn and Aaron Beverly. Was there anything else before we start talking about the semifinals itself? Was there
Okay.
anything else you did to prepare, or anybody else you spoke to, or how far reaching did you practice the
Okay.
speech?
Yeah. Well, so outside of my club and the other clubs that I went to, I also did rely on my own personal family members. And so I did present my speech to a few of my family members who know nothing about Toastmasters. My sister was one, I had to explain the whole process to her because she's like, I don't understand. She said, I know you've been in this club and I know you've been doing public speaking, but you got to break this down to me. But I just started sharing the message and talking about the message and sharing the speech with other family members too, to just to get a feel for if I do change things, how would I change it? Where am I going to go past the contest? That was the biggest thing. I had to start looking at what's going to happen past the contest, regardless of where I go, what's going to happen after it. That was, I guess it was kind of like my saving grace. But as far as other people reaching out, there, I will say there were a few clubs or people that had reached back out to me before the semifinals that were just helping me, such as I'm going to forget names, but there was Brazelle, there was Tiffany, there were you, there was Michelle, Chris. There were so many people that were just like, do you need help? Do you need assistance? Do you want me to hear it? I mean, Toastmasters is such a family oriented organization in my mind that people don't get it, how supportive people are, and they really truly want to see you succeed. I had so many people asking me, if they could help. And I was trying to reach out as much as I possibly could, because I felt like, you know what? I didn't think I was going to get this far. Not little old me. So I'll take whatever I can get.
Well, and this is probably a good place too. I know we're talking about the message, and I was lucky enough to hear your award-winning speech. Can you tell our listeners, if they happen to not be able to be lucky enough to hear your speech, can you tell them basically in a nutshell what the message of your speech is?
Sure. So here's the funny thing about this whole speech. It's about being a teacher. And the first part of the message is the truest part and probably the one part of the speech that I kept out of all 20 versions. My mother always said I should be a teacher, and I told her I don't know what she's talking about. That was the one line that has been the same through all 20 versions. I never thought that I would be teaching children. And my mom told me that I didn't believe it. And as a result of the pandemic, I had the opportunity to teach, substitute teach. Substitute teaching took me into teaching special education children. How in the world? And it was because I walked into a room one day and I fell in love with a bunch of children. And from there, I just got this, I don't know, I became just enamored with these children and how beautifully intelligent they were and how they were, how people didn't realize how much of a voice they had, how brilliant they were. And that was the one thing that I wanted to start talking about. My personal journey on how I found myself, how I found these children, and how I want these children to be heard. That's the whole idea. Some people know everything there is to know about children with special needs. Some people never heard of it. But to bring them into, if I could bring people, someone that had never heard of it, into a space to knowing how incredibly brilliant and remarkable these children are to live in a world that wasn't necessarily built for them and to be able to survive, to be able to showcase that was all it meant for me. And that's the speech. It's about being there for them because there are so many people or so many children that are in that space that they don't have people to be there for them. So therein lies why I said, this is my calling for my next 20 years of my life. Here we go.
Well, and one thing that I out of the many things I got out of your beautiful speech is, and this is something I always go back to, you never know, and I definitely think this applies with your speech. You never know who in the audience you inspire. And you may never know that, but it could be something as small as something that somebody might do on a Saturday afternoon, or like you said, you found your calling. Somebody else might choose a similar calling because they heard your story and saw how you did it. And to me, that is the really to go back to the crux of Toastmasters, that's the power of words. You
Right.
never know who you can affect. And that's just a beautiful thing. And I'm so glad that you were able to really take your message to so many different audiences, really audiences around the world. And that kind of takes me to my next question is, so picture it. Anyone who knows Golden Girls, that's my age range.
Yeah, I know that one. I know
Picture
that.
it. Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, August 21st, 2025. You, Leslie, are the contestant representing District 38 at the semifinals of the World Championship of Public Speaking. Can you tell us about what you recall about that experience, the people in that experience, what you felt, and because I'm going to be honest, so many of us won't be able to experience that. So if you could just share what you felt and recall about that experience.
Oh, wow. Well, I can tell you, I was so incredibly nervous. I practiced my speech every single day. When I say every single day, I mean every single day up until that point. I knew that I had to have the one speech, and I knew I had to prepare for what I had hoped would be the final speech. So I had two speeches rumbling around in the back of my head. I was so nervous about losing who I was because I wanted to always still remember who I was in the space of all this. And so many people were telling me at the same time, try to enjoy it. Are you kidding me? There was just so much pressure with regards to that. I can only tell you that the day of the speech or the day of the contest, I had to take some serious deep breaths. I had to walk away from the top floor where everybody was, and I went all the way downstairs, and I just had to live in the space of recognizing how I got this far. Had I not tried, I would have never known. And that was one of the things that just kept sitting behind me. Like, had I never, I would have never gotten this far. And I thought about my daughter, so many things that I tell her. I said, if you haven't tried, you haven't lived. So therefore, go ahead and do it. The worst they can say is no. The worst that can happen is you've got as far as you can. And I was literally, and I wish I could show you the tape, talking to myself in the phone downstairs in the lobby, just saying, you know what? This is such a phenomenal experience. You've gotten this far. This is monumental for you and a beautiful moment. Take it in, and whatever happens, happens. So I had to talk myself off the ledge. My Bluebell members know how I am. I'm so relaxed when I'm with them. So when I'm with them and I'm nervous, they're like, okay, Leslie. They're always trying to like talk me off the ledge. And I had to channel them. I had to channel my family members. But I will say this. My mother always said, everybody puts their pants on one leg at a time. And so I said, well, guess what? I'm just like everybody else. And everyone else that's standing up here with me at this semifinal is just as nervous as I am. I'm sure we're all trying to save face, but we're all just as nervous. We all want to be able to get some, get to the next level. But we're all people. We all have a personal story. We all have something beautiful to share. And if we can just share it here today, if nowhere else in the world, we're good to go. That's how I had to get through it. And I don't know, I'll share that when I got there and I saw, so Chris, you already know, I said, I'm the only female in this group. I'm the shortest one in this group. I said, what's going on here? Then I almost started thinking for a second, do I belong here? Because I seem to be the odd person out. I was so different from everybody. But then I said, but maybe that's why I'm supposed to be here. So then I said, okay, I'm supposed to be here. You have to continually talk yourself off of this ledge every single waking moment until you get to that stage and then some. But it's okay. It's okay. Tell yourself if you got this far, you're supposed to be here. If you got this way, you're supposed to be here. And that's what I had to settle in on. And then there's where I almost got that peak where I said, I'm just going to have fun with it. My District 38 was over there in the corner cheering me on. I saw you all. I said, I'm just going to have fun with it and just let it be what it's going to be. Can't worry about everybody else. Can't worry about the other six contestants and what their speech is about. Theirs is amazing and phenomenal, I'm sure. But so is mine. And it was just one of those things that I just had to come to grips with and just go with it. And anybody that's thinking or wondering, should I do it? You haven't tried. What is it? If you haven't failed, you haven't tried, you haven't lived. So do it. Do it anyway. Was that too long-winded? I was just
No, I love it. I'm so like getting into what you're saying, and I love something that you said when you were being interviewed. I don't know if you remember saying it, but when you were being interviewed after the contest was over, and you literally told that whole room, you said, basically, it doesn't matter if I win this contest. I've won because I've gotten this message out there. And when you said that, I literally, Leslie, I got goosebumps. I was like, oh my God, that is so profound. Like that is really, and that's one of those messages that really kind of goes beyond even just a contest that, and really, I think for a lot of people, even if you don't enter a contest, and like really a lot of us, we give so many speeches during our Toastmasters journey, and really, you're exactly right. It's about the message that we're putting out there.
I'll give a shout out to Aaron Beverly, who told me, even though by the time I talked to Aaron, that was between the District 38, so I had already won 38 and I was practicing for the semifinals. He said, if you can make your story outlive you. Those were his words. And that gave me, so I said, okay, so I know I'm on the right path because this is a story that I want to outlive me. So he did give me some comfort with regards to that and where I was going with this message. And you're absolutely right. I just had figured, and as you mentioned, I said, so everybody knows about special education now, right? That was the nail on the head. So I felt like I had already had a victory there. And you know what? At the, you know, I can share. At that time, I didn't think I was going to place. I had heard the other speakers. You know, I had resolved in my own mind that I wasn't going to advance, but it was okay. And that was before the interviews. I had already put that in my mind. Was I hoping? Of course, I was still hoping. Then I could be really surprised. But I just knew that I had gotten, at that point, I knew, I had thought I had gotten as far as I was going to go. And the impact I made was there. And I needed to get that validation out. And the audience was very happy to reciprocate and let me know that I did.
Well, and one last thing I'll say is, you had said earlier in us talking today that you were concerned that maybe your message wasn't universal, but I think you made it universal. Everyone that I know heard your message. The way you conveyed it, you made us care about it. In the way that you
Thank
delivered it.
you. Thank
So.
you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I do appreciate that. That means it all to me. It means the world to me.
And I know that I've enjoyed hearing about the journey from you winning your club contest, then going all the way to participating in the World Championship of Public Speaking semifinals with fellow speech contestants from around the world. So thank you so much for talking to me and imparting your wisdom on all of us. I am honored to call you a friend and even more honored that you took some time out to be on the podcast today. Any last words for our listeners, Leslie?
Well, I'm going to say first with regards to yourself, Chris, and all of District 38, I have to thank each and every one of you for being there, for being just being in my corner, for being so supportive. There were people, you know, I know few of you because we know each other, because we've bumped into each other several times, but even some District 38 members that I was meeting for the first time. The support is unwavering. And I really want to express how thankful and grateful I am for people that would take time out of their schedule, take time out of, you know, their day just to ask me if they need any help, to come and listen to my speech, to give me feedback, for you to even ask me to share my journey. It is one of those things that unfortunately a lot of people in the world don't get to do is share their story. And this space, Toastmaster, is this space where, if nothing else, if you don't get to do anything, you get to share your story and talk about yourself. I talk about myself and things that are going on with me in this club and all these clubs and in this space more than I do sometimes with my family members. And so I wanted to say thank you. I want to say, as parting too, is if you have a story, if you have a message, don't do like I, or do like I. Don't second guess yourself and think that it might not be for the masses because you don't know. Go
Exactly.
ahead and put your t dip your toe in the water and find out. The people that, you know, need to hear it, they'll come swimming closer, and then you'll find out there's other people that are like, hey, I need to know a little bit about this too. Every single person's story is important. Every single person's journey has some connection to somebody out there. You just don't know. You never, 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 never know. And believe it or not, one of my students who's now graduated heard about me speaking, didn't hear my speech, but heard about me speaking and came back and said, oh my gosh. And it's a long story. I don't want to get into it, but he heard through the grapevine that I did a speech about special education. Of course, he wanted to know if I used his name. I said, no, I didn't use your name. But he was just so happy that I talked about, this space because he said it was so important to him. And he's a high schooler. So I said, oh, that just tells me that, again, this is something that I needed to do. So do it scared too, because I was scared all the way up to the very end. Do it scared every single point in time. And however far you get is how far you get. That's how you were far you were meant to go. Don't stop going.
Exactly. Thank you for all that, Leslie.
Yeah, sure. I enjoyed it. Thank you so much. It's a chance to like set my hair down and just kind of regroup. And it's not the last that you'll hear of me talking about this. So I'm excited to just keep on with the journey.
Well, of course. And you know what? Every time you enter a speech contest, it, and because I think this is definitely not the last time we're hearing from Leslie Crudup. Definitely not. She has a voice and she's going to keep sharing it, guaranteed. And with that, I'm Chris Hulse. And if you have a story to share or you know someone who does, and you or them would like to be one of the future voices on this podcast, please send an email to podcast@tmdistrict38.org. That's podcast, podcast at tmdistrict38.org. And until next time, remember to project that voice you have fearlessly forward. Make sure you grab the megaphone.